Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. Hope you're doing well. I am Dr. Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. My guest this week is Emily Shiver. She is a certified veterinary practice manager that has been working in practice for 18 years. Wow. Emily's passion is creating and maintaining positive, successful workplace cultures, as well as helping practices increase revenue and the client experience. She enjoys every aspect of inventory and strives to help practices meet and exceed their inventory goals. So, Emily, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, there are so many great topics because you're a certified veterinary practice manager and other certifications, which is fantastic. And today we're going to focus a little bit about inventory because of COVID that's going on in this pandemic. So, you know, we're going to talk about like the five tips that you should know as practice managers, owners, veterinary technicians. We should all just be made aware of our inventory. So give us a little bit of experience and intel.
Sure. So of course, COVID's brought along a lot of challenges when it comes to just everyday practice. So we all went curbside. We've had clients that maybe have been a little less patient than we're used to. And then we add into all the behind the scenes things that we have to do. And one of the main things is inventory. And we have had to struggle with keeping up with all different aspects of the inventory situation that's not normal. And COVID's really thrown a wrench in some of these things. I think one of the top things is maintaining and managing our personal protective equipment. So our PPE, that's been super hard. And, you know, at the beginning of all this, certainly most of us stopped elective procedures and tried to really conserve our PPE. And as time went on, things got a little bit, you know, less strict, if you will, and we started introducing more elective procedures back into the practice. And then now you're kind of up against the wall again, not being able to get some PPE. So some things that I really have tried and we've worked through in practice is tag systems. So making sure that you have, what I like to do is set aside maybe two boxes of masks and keep those aside. And when they're running low, they come and ask for masks, another box of masks. And that's my cue. Let's go ahead and put an order in. Of course, reusable where you can. So gowns, even masks, and even caps. Those things you can reuse. And I think that that's important, especially right now as we're all trying to preserve PPE. And then from an inventory manager standpoint, staying on top of the allocations and making sure you are connecting with your inside sales reps so that you know what's going on back order, what's available, and potentially they can find comparable products and ship it from different locations and that sort of thing. So that's, I think PPE is top of everybody's mind and list. Yeah. and super frustrating during this time for sure.
Yeah, that's a great tip.
Yeah, it can be really, really stressful when you're trying to do a procedure and you're like, gloves, anyone? So it can be pretty frustrating. Just definitely staying on top of that. Another thing that we think about is kind of ties into that is back orders. Back orders, it's not just PPE at this time. There's other products that are on back order and really hard to source and stay on top of right now. I think definitely maintaining relationships with your vendors and distributors is going to help your inside sales reps, your outside sales reps are not visiting in the practice right now. You can still reach out to them. They're still available and they're still really, really helpful. So definitely that is something to think about when it comes to back orders is creating those strong relationships. And then there's other things that go along with back orders that can be helpful. That's knowing each company's policy for back orders. So some of these companies, when you place an order and that item is on back order and it comes off back order, it's not automatically going to ship to you. Some of the companies, you have to actually go back in and reorder that product. So making sure that you keep a list of how much product you've ordered and know what companies are going to hold the back orders and then ship when they're released. But if we go into that, that can cause a whole nother, you know, a little bit of a weird experience. Because if you are placing orders, let's say with Rolls Canin that holds back orders, and they release a back order, then all of a sudden you have 12 bags of food that you really only wanted 2 bags of food. So you really have to stay on top of what companies hold back orders, what companies you need to reorder once the back order is released. And again, just reaching out to your reps are going to be able to tell you these things.
I feel like there's always an eye medication that's on back order.
Right? Oh my gosh, you're right. No, you're so right.
There's always something on eye medication. And then when it does get released, it's like the veterinary hospital is like, we need 200 of them. You
know? Yes.
Because you're afraid really, that it's going to go. It's a back order again, right? Yeah,
no, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And I know some of these food companies, it's been really frustrating because, you know, we put our clients on these special diets and then we can't get them. And it's weeks and weeks and weeks. So definitely knowing your comparable products in these times is very helpful. And it's just like you said, with eye medication, same thing. I mean, there's different brands and comparable products. So definitely stay on top of that for sure.
Yeah, those are good tips too. What do you say to the veterinary associate or whoever owner? Because I'm one of them. I'm so guilty of doing this. when it's like, I'm so guilty of this, is like, you know, when you see a great promotion and you're like, oh my gosh, yes, if it's buy 6, get 6 sleeves of whatever. And I was like, this sounds amazing. And then all of a sudden my inventory manager is like, what were you thinking? We have so many. I was like, but it sounded such a great deal. It's like 50% off. But it throws off like your inventory into a tailspin, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, it can for sure. I think when you are dealing with even rebates, so rebates and like buy or BOGOs, they sound great, but you really have to weigh the pros and cons of it. So if you can get this product and receive a rebate, that's fantastic. But if your rebate's only $300 and you're spending $5,000, you got to pay attention to how long it's going to take you to turn that product, because you don't want to be sitting on that product for 6 months. If you can turn the product in, let's say 30, 60 days, that makes sense. But if you're going to be sitting on this product for 6 months, that doesn't necessarily make sense for your inventory budget at all.
Right. And I think that setting those reorder points, like you're talking about, you know, it you should start, you know, the high ticket items. I mean, they should be rotating about what, every 3 months tends to be the lifespan of what you want rotating. Is that right?
So 8 to 12 turns a year is what you're going for. That is okay. Really ideal. 8 to 12 turns a year for each product. And, you know, you have your, if we get into like ABC analysis talk, you have your A products, which is the top 20% of your products, but 80% of your pharmacy revenue. So only 20% of your products bring in 80% of your revenue. And then you get to your B products, which that's a different bracket. And then you get to your C products, and those should be turning even less. So your A products should be turning very, very, very quickly. Definitely 8 to 12 times a year. Then your B products might be turning a little bit less, maybe 6 to 8 times a year. And then your C products will be under 6 times a year. But that's when you really have to dig in and figure out, can we maybe do away with this product since we're using more of this product? And you use a perfect example of eye medications. There's so many. So maybe there's an eye medication that's just not turning. So things to dig into and think about.
I also like having doctor's meetings where at the end of the agenda or whatever part of it, we do discuss inventory, because sometimes, you know, things evolve and either the doctors have relationships with the vendors where they feel comfortable with. And then we sit down and we realize, you know, team, we have 6 different ear medications and different ear cleaners. Can we all decide on maybe 2 or 3 that we can use?
Yes.
Have you experienced that too?
Oh, yes. You know, working in a practice with 6 doctors, oh, yes. Yes, you do experience that. But really, a part of it is just providing education. So providing education for the doctors and sitting down and having doctors meetings and everybody trying to get on the same page. And I think that's super important in all of this, is trying to get all the doctors on the same page and make sure that each one of them understands what each product can do, if possible.
Right. And tell me a little bit about online pharmacy. What's your thoughts and experience with that?
Sure. So certainly there's huge competitors now out there that deliver pretty amazing experiences to these clients. And think about what we're dealing with right now. We're dealing with COVID, which it's been, you need to stay inside, you need to not go anywhere, you need social distance. So what does everybody turn to? Well, they turn to the internet to order all their pets products now. So that can be detrimental to our, a major revenue stream for our practices. So some things that you can do to try to combat some of that is lean into your injectable. So there's certainly several injectables on the market that you can lean into and really drive the patient visits and the client visits. And then think outside of the box. I mean, offer delivery service through your own practice, offer your own online pharmacy, or offer contactless pickup. So people can literally come, let you know they're there. You can set it outside, do a payment via email or what have you. There's different options as far as that goes. And then have very, very small amount of contact with these clients. But definitely thinking outside of the box and trying to keep your pharmacy revenue in-house, whether it's your own online pharmacy or really driving visits to the practice with your injectables. I think there's ways that we can really keep the revenue in our pharmacies.
Yeah, no, especially with COVID. Are you finding that pet parents are wanting to maximize the amount of refills? So for instance, like if they need to get heartworm prevention, instead of 6 months, maybe they're getting a year because they just want to help minimize the contact time or just driving back and forth. Are you seeing an uptake in that?
Yes, and even long-term medications. So a medication like Vetmedin, for instance, that is a heart medication. I mean, these pets have to have this medication. It's been really hard to acquire and keep on the shelves. So we've had to be careful because we do have the clients. We are exactly right. They're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to come out of my house for 3 months. So I want 3 months of this medication. Well, if I give you 3 months of this medication, then this pet might not have 2 weeks of medication, So we've had to really limit the, we call it like closet hoarding from our clients for, just stocking up on all these medications, whether it be the long-term medications, specifically long-term medications, and then the heartworm prevention. I mean, that's easy. We can do an injectable for that, or you can come get your 12 months. That's fine. And that's perfect. We encourage that. But definitely the long-term medications, we have had to put the brakes on a little bit with the clients that want to get like 3-6 months at a time.
So I've heard, and this is such a thing, that this pet parents are hoarding medications, and it's not in a bad way, but it's not intended to be bad. But what it's doing, from what I'm reading, is that it's actually creating back orders. And so, we're trying to, make sure that everybody has enough, say, Vetmedin, heart, thyroid medication, all those different things. But unfortunately, with the COVID, what we're seeing is that certain medications that you never really used to seeing on back order are being on back order because they're stocking up just in case of like another potential spike, or they have to have a shutdown in their state. So it's interesting. I think I've never experienced that in my years of practicing.
Yeah. And I think it's not only, I mentioned the long-term medications, but it's food too. I mean, bless these food companies who are trying so hard to keep up. But at the beginning of all this, I mean, we did have clients that were trying to buy 6 bags of food of certain things. And we're like, okay, whoa, slow it down. Like, it's okay. It's kind of, I talk about it pretty regularly. It's kind of like the toilet paper situation. Like, okay,
right.
Everybody calm down. Like, they're going to make more toilet paper. They're going to make more food. They're not going to shut down everything at this point. So I think the fear of that is kind of waning a little bit. So now I think it's just the company is trying to play catch up. I think is where we're at. I hope so anyway. Let me tell you that.
Right. I hope so too. My goodness.
I hope so.
So any recommendations for practice managers out there that are struggling with their inventory right now?
Sure. So I think a lot of the struggle that I hear and I see all the time has been finding the time to stay on top of all of this. So inventory can be a full-time job in and of itself. And then a lot of us are having to play other roles. We're having to jump in as a technician or jump in as a receptionist. So I think some of the struggle that we're all dealing with is setting time aside to manage inventory appropriately, like we should be, and then making sure it can all work out, meaning you have time to order, you have time to receive your order, you have time to make sure we're not running out of PPE and all those things, and contact the reps. So I talk and I say, like, contact the reps, contact your inside sales reps. But let me tell you, if you don't have time to even breathe, how are you supposed to do that? So I really strongly encourage all the inventory managers to consider setting time aside and delegating some tasks, whether it be maybe somebody can place an order, or maybe somebody can unpack boxes for you. It's just the little things that really pile up that a lot of time is overlooked in the practice, because unless you walk in the inventory manager's shoes, you really don't know what they're going through. But definitely even think about ordering from home. So maybe telling your practice owner or your manager, like, hey, I just need to come in an hour late because I'm going to order all this stuff from home. Maybe outside, go outside, sit outside, go into your office, close the door. I mean, I'm just giving you these silly little tips, but honestly, sometimes we just need to hear it. Like, close the door and say, hey, I'm not going to be available for an hour. Really putting that time aside so you can order the inventory and stay on top of it is really important. And then, I mean, that's really my biggest tip past what I've already said. Another thing that I think a lot of us, and it's not just inventory managers, but a lot of us are dealing with, is angry or impatient clients. And really and truly in that, it can cause a lot more frustration for the inventory managers as well, because you guys are trying your best. You're trying to stay on top of everything, make sure the practice doesn't run out of what they need. And then maybe you have a frustrated client, you know, verbalizing to you their frustrations over, you know, the bag of food that didn't come in on time. And it's certainly not your fault, but that can wear on you. It can really wear on you and really burn you out. So in those instances, my tips for you with the angry clients and impatient clients is start by asking them, like, what do you need? What can I do for you? What's going to make this experience different? And let's try to work together, because trust me, I want to help you. This is not about me not wanting to help you. I want to help you. So let's see if we can't come up with a solution together. Let's work together and do it. So I think those are a couple more tips that I can give to help the inventory managers really put time aside to do their work, and then maybe help with some of these frustrated clients that we've all dealt with. I know we have.
Thank you for sharing that. That's a really, really great tip to our listeners out there. You know, as a veterinarian and as a former chief of staff, I got to tell you, dedicating time to one of your team members is crucial. Some of your practices out there are big, where you have a full-time inventory manager, just like Emily was saying, but some of you are wearing multiple hats, just like Emily said. And I agree. And I'll give you an example, and I got to give her a shout out, my friend Alana. And if you're listening, thank you, Alana, because Alana is an inventory manager, but she's also a veterinary technician. But on 2 days a week, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Alana is wearing the inventory hat. And there were times where we had to establish boundaries because, you know, you could easily pull somebody off the floor to say, can you hold this dog? And then 2 hours later, she's in surgery helping a dog. You know what I mean? And she's not doing what she wants to do. And you can easily get frustrated over that. So letting the team know that if you're spearheading a champion or cheerleader to handle inventory, do not pull them into other tasks. You know, make sure that they're focused, because it is a very tough job. You need the time, and maybe you need to be at home, like you said, to focus on the reorder points and calling, and it's a process. So I really love that you shared that, because that's a great tip to have. If you have a receptionist that's also your inventory manager, make sure you dedicate him or her to be on a certain day or whatever you want it to be, but that's the only hat that they're wearing, because you will burn out your staff that way.
You will. And let me also remind everyone that inventory is your second largest expense in your practice. So when you're doing payroll, I guarantee you pull yourself away and you do payroll so you don't overpay somebody or underpay somebody. Inventory needs to be treated similarly, because it's your second largest expense in your practice. And so I feel like a lot of times it's just kind of like, oh, it's inventory, you know, just order the stuff and get it here. But then when you put pen to paper and it gets toward the end of the year and you start looking at everything, you're like, whoa, okay, hold on. So I just really can't stress enough that it really needs to be a priority. And I totally agree with you. You have to protect the people that are doing it and give them the time to do it.
Yes, I love the analogy of payroll too, because well, you know, when somebody's doing payroll, they're not messing with you when you're doing payroll. So
that's right. And, you're exactly right.
Right. And the other tip too, Emily, I'm sure you've experienced this, is whatever process you have for your veterinary hospital, is don't blame the inventory manager if something is not in, or right? Yes. Like if it's not in, yes, or it's on a back order, like don't yell at the translator. Maybe you didn't write it in. Maybe someone on your team forgot to write it down that we were running low on something, and all of a sudden you get frustrated because it's not on the shelf. But you know, you got to own it to realize, you know what, I'm so sorry. I took the last bottle and I did not write it in the book, or I didn't write it in the computer, whatever it is. But, you know, do not hurt the messenger, because these inventory managers are really just a conduit to really bringing your, you know, your inventory in, trying to manage such a dynamic, you know, modality in your veterinary practice. It's so dynamic. So if it's not in the book, then it's on you, is what I said.
That's right. I know, like, you got to protect these guys, man.
Yes.
Especially right now. It's tough.
Because I have been in practices and I have seen it where inventory, the ones that have done the inventory, I have found my experiences, and it's for everybody, but I have found those to be the most burnt out ones, because they're being an inventory manager for a reason. They're either really good at the details and really good at numbers. And you know, some are very passionate about it, which is great, but they're wearing multiple hats. And so, you know, I am a huge cheerleader and advocate for whoever the inventory manager is in your practice, be good to them. Please be good to them.
Yes. I think they need their own day. So we have like technicians.
They do.
I feel like we need like inventory manager day, and we celebrate that person. That's what I think.
I agree. I recommend doing it at your monthly meetings, your team huddles. If you do it on a Zoom, you celebrate them because they're giving you updates in your agenda or meeting, whatever you're having, they're providing you an update. But you need to celebrate them and thank them and show appreciation. And however that looks to you in your practice, whether it be verbal or monetary or whatever it is, you really need to be appreciative of what they do.
I can't agree more.
Oh, see, Emily, we can keep going for this. I'm telling you.
Yeah, we can.
I think we got the message out there to our profession to, like, you know, listen, it's hard out there for all of us in this profession right now with the COVID. It's difficult, but you know, internally too, we have our challenges, and this is one of them. This is definitely one of them that's hard. So, you know, be kind, be respectful, be patient and understanding to those that are doing inventory in the practice. So any final comments and recommendations, Emily?
I think that all of you wake up every day and you chose this profession for a reason, and just don't forget that through these tough times. And all you inventory managers, listen, I'm sure it'll start getting better as time goes on. Hang in there. You all are doing great work.
Thank you for sharing that, Emily. Thank you. And yes, you are all essential. We all need you in this profession. You know, business is booming, fortunately. They're hiring, which is great. We're in a profession that is very busy. And lean on each other. Talk to us. We're here for each other. So thank you. Thank you so much, Emily Shiver, from a certified veterinary practice manager. I know we'll be seeing more both on podcasts and in content and speaking events. So thank you for all you do.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Vet Blast podcast. We hope you learned some great tips today. Hope you're staying safe out there. And remember, always stay possum. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.